Day 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue. They're online at edleysbbq.com. Three locations, 12 Southeast Nashville and Sylvan Park, where we were yesterday. Paul, you were missed. We're hungry right now. We were not hungry at this time yesterday.
Let's just say the snack attack I had from a gas station where I filled up was not Edley's-esque. Just like Sarah Fuller was not Jackie Robinson-esque.
No. No. But she's on the roster this week.
She's the only kicker on the roster this week.
Can Vanderbilt get anywhere near field goal range or the end zone?
One can hope. One can hope. Coming up at noon, we'll talk NFL with John McClain, but right now, Bruno Reagan joins us.
Yeah, Bruno Reagan with VandySports.com, and thanks to Chris Lee at VandySports, good friend of the show, for helping set this up. And I heard
Thank you, Chris, podcast
with Bruno and Chris, and Bruno had some thoughts, and he is connected to this Vandy locker room that didn't sit well with some in media, but he was being very honest and truthful about what's actually being said inside of a football locker room and inside of a football program. So we decided to have Bruno on the program to discuss the state of Vanderbilt football. Hey, Bruno, thanks so much for doing this, man. Really appreciate it.
Guys, thanks for having me on.
So let's start with this, Bruno. Preseason, when you had the number of players either transferring or opting out, that was a red flag for things going on with this program. When you saw that and you talked to guys in this locker room, what was going on even going into this season with Derek Mason and Vanderbilt football for all that to happen?
I mean, so obviously people are going to point to the COVID and the opt-out. I think it was very much not. There might have been one or two true COVID concerns on the team. I believe the number is up to 30 of people from spring ball who have either opted out or transferred from the team. And, you know, every team has like 8 or 9, you know, transfer or opt-outs right now. But 30, like, it's exceptionally bad at Vanderbilt. And Vanderbilt didn't go into the season with too much of an expectation this season. So I think it just said a lot about where the program was at, where things were being, how things were being handled on the inside. I mean, during the summer, it was a lot of craziness because they didn't know how to do. They were going through some issues with protocol and stuff, and some players' family were getting upset, and that's it. Just kind of shows where the state of the program is at right now.
So Derek Mason gets fired, and everyone immediately says, "Hey, Derek Mason, nice guy. Can't think of many bad things to say about him." And they follow it up with, "Wasn't really given a chance, but," and this is our show's belief, "still could have done better with the chances that he was given at Vanderbilt." But when you hear these things about your former coach, Bruno, and his ouster there, what were the real circumstances around the program? Was he not given a fair shake in terms of what that program needed while he was there?
In terms of what he needed, I don't know if he had the commitment for the long haul, but if we're going to talk short term, like those 6 and 7 teams we had, and I was the captain of those teams, like that, I put that more on myself. Like I definitely thought we could have accomplished a lot more there. You know, guys like Kyle Shermer, Justin School, Jaron Pinney, we had a lot of talent on those teams, right? And I think a lot of guys on that team would take more responsibility on the team itself, not on like the grander program, like, oh, we didn't get what we needed. We didn't have a nicer weight room, and that's why we lost some games, right? I think that's the deal. So I just think, I think while we were there, we had opportunities to be extremely successful. And, you know, as captains, as coaching staff as a whole, we just kind of missed the mark.
Do you feel like things are different now under Candace Story Lee, or is it the old adage of same old Vanderbilt in terms of a lack of commitment to the football program and what they want to see there? Or do you get the sense that, okay, maybe this time it is going to be different?
So I didn't know what much to think about Athletic Director Lee. I only knew what I knew about my time there, and she always seemed like she was on the side of players and winning. But I didn't know much of what she was doing as an athletic director. But her making the decision to, you know, move on from Coach Mason, and it's a hard one for all of us because we all had a really good personal relationship. But I do think she's setting a standard for what's not going to be accepted at Vanderbilt. And to do it, you know, mid-season too, it did give me a vote of confidence in her, a big one, that she wants success in terms of wins at Vanderbilt.
Bruno Reagan, our guest, do you relate to the description of the locker room halftime that was lifeless, or the sideline that was lifeless? Like when you hear that description, is that something you experienced?
Sometimes, yeah. Like, for example, when we got trounced by Alabama, I believe it was my junior year, 2017, that's something you can't even fake. You can't even fake that sort of, you know, enthusiasm or whatever. But as far as, you know, the years, especially even those years when we were bowling, I feel like we had a good team atmosphere. And those seasons didn't start out too well either. You know, those were basically us rallying at the end of the season. And enthusiasm or anything around the program, it was never much of a problem. It was a problem when Coach Mates first got there. A lot of the Franklin guys were you know, they were fed up. And then when it became a lot of Mesa's guys and the Franklin guys who stayed who bought in, you know, the team had a good energy. It did feel like we were a competitive SEC team in that locker room. Now, when my class left, you know, there was a lot of leadership that left. The big one was Kyle Shermer. I mean, after that, you know, you started getting rumblings that things were starting to die down in terms of energy in that team.
And the wins died down also, obviously, the last 2 years of trend with Derek Mason, which led to him being fired. Bruno Reagan, our guest on the Midday 180. Let's go deep into that locker room, Bruno. Numbers were already an issue. You mentioned the 30 players either transferring or opting out. Now their head coach has been fired. What is that going to do for numbers now, trying to just finish out this season and play two more games? Are there other players that have either left or consider leaving the Vanderbilt program with 2 weeks left?
Yeah, well, I guess you guys get, whoever the listeners of the show are, get the updates as they come, because Coach Fitch just had a press conference, who's the interim head coach of Vanderbilt right now. He said, you know, some guys were opted out. And then right after that, I start getting tips that about 6 to 7 guys, you know, I've heard 6, I've heard 7, and could be team captain names, they've opted out of the season already. So I don't know if Vanderbilt's going to even get to play a game. Coach Fitch speculated that they'll have enough to keep the roster up. But, I mean, I can tell you where the program is right now. And I don't know the exact reasons either, but, you know, I think as we get more into our conversation, we can sort of speculate and I can explain what I've heard. But basically, you know, the direct reaction to Coach Mates being fired is there are even more opt-outs now. So,
did the Sarah Fuller situation hurt things with this football team in this locker room?
So the way I got the Sarah Fuller story was right off the jump. I mean, I got calls from a few players because it was mainly the older crowd of players. Because, you know, I think they saw what this was going to become right off the jump. I knew it was going to be a big story. I didn't know it was going to be as big as it was. I mean, this was absolutely massive story. And, you know, the guys just felt like their season was being taken. Like, even though it was the 0-7 season, they wanted to own it. It was their senior year. They wanted to try and end things on a good note. You know, at Vanderbilt, you beat Tennessee. This people go crazy over on our side. So there was still that opportunity for them. But then things kind of, it just kind of added on a lot of extra media. So obviously the world's watching the Missouri game. You get trounced 41-0. I mean, it's just more on top of more pounding on top of these guys. But when I started getting more information on the Sarah Fuller thing from inside the locker room, a lot of guys just didn't really care. I think a lot of guys are in survival mode there right now. So that's just sort of where the team's at.
So these guys opting out now, would you say 6 to 7 and team captain level names?
Yeah.
Is it a reaction to Mason being fired? Is it a reaction to the degree to which they've gone now with Fuller? Or is it just, I'm done with this? Are we talking about seniors or guys in their last year of eligibility just saying, I don't have the gumption to finish this out?
Now, guys, I'm going to be honest with you, and I can't speak for every single name that's opted out or the names that are going to opt out, but, you know, right before I hopped on the show, I got a tip. And basically, I've been talking with a bunch of journalists in the circle that Riley Gay is back, who was the kicker when I was there. He had some eligibility left, but he stopped playing. He was in med school. They brought him in, and he was kicking. And this is the story that I got. He was kicking well, and, you know, obviously he kicked for a very long time, very experienced kicker, and he was kicking better than Sarah, obviously. You know, he's been doing this a long time. And basically, they told him that, you know, regardless if they get anything sorted out, the waivers, whatever, if he was able to play, he was told that he was going to be the backup on kickoff regardless behind Sarah. And I was told that some team captains very much didn't take that well at all. And that could be a reason for these opt-outs.
And that was this week, right? Saying that he would back her up this week, not last week.
Yeah, this week. No, he's like going into Georgia week. So she's the only one listed on the depth chart. And I assume the reason they haven't listed Riley yet is because, you know, I don't know if they have everything worked out in terms of the paperwork, but from what I heard, he was basically going to be cleared to play, and he might be out there, and he might do the field goals while Sarah takes care of, you know, kickoff responsibility.
So they're opting out because they're a part of a publicity stunt and not a part about who's playing the best football
I think some guys. That might be the reason. Some guys might be, you know, Coach Mason. Some guys might truly think they have an NFL shot, and they're like, you know what, I'm not risking it over this next 2 weeks. I'm going out. But I do think that's the sentiment that some players have in that locker room.
So speaking of locker room, you've obviously been in that locker room with Vanderbilt. You know guys in the locker room. Everyone on this show has been in a locker room at some point in their life, at participating in sports, covering sports. So we have some basic understanding of how a locker room works. Common sense, Bruno, would dictate that it's very odd for a kicker to step in the week of a game and address a team at halftime. It's odd for a kicker to address the team at all in football.
Yeah.
So how weird was that, and how odd, talking to guys in the locker room you talk to, how strange was a halftime pump-up speech from the part-time kicker who joined the team 3 days before on Saturday in Columbia, Missouri?
Well, I definitely got, believe me, I heard it as soon as anybody, you know. As soon as the game was over, the text calls started rolling in, like, bro, you're not going to believe what's happened. I, you know, alumni, the story breaks, and then alumni start hitting me up, and they're like, no way this happened. And, you know, that's just kind of where the program is right now. And I listen to Sarah, everything that Sarah said publicly, but I think she made some decent points in that speech. Was it her place as, you know, coming in, and she hadn't even kicked at that point yet, so, you know, she hadn't even played. Was it her place? No. She saw something that she thought was, you know, it was a dead locker room. They were getting whacked 21-0 at the time going into the half. But it's definitely, in the norms of football, that's not a normal thing to happen. Obviously, this wasn't a normal situation, you know. There was a lot of eyes on the deal. So, but you said it, man. I mean, I've always been on the train that kickers and specialists, you know, I'm an offensive lineman, so they've never gotten too much respect. You'll eventually have a guy like a Tommy Openshaw that I play with that he was considered a captain on the team, very respected guy. But for the most part, kickers just don't usually come up and speak up like that. But she had a message, and she wanted to say it. She asked the team. She asked, and they let her have the floor. So,
I mean, there's a lot to digest in this conversation. So let's ask you about the coaching search now. You've seen all the names that have been mentioned with Vanderbilt. What makes the most sense to you in terms of you knowing what success can look like at Vandy? And obviously we're seeing the other end of that right now with Vanderbilt football. Of the names you've seen, or even maybe names you haven't seen, what do you like in this coaching search?
I think Candace made some decent points. She liked head coaching experience, and I like that point. So she mentioned two key traits. Not deal breakers, but important. So head coaching experience and offensive minded. Now that goes two and two against Clark Lee, who, while I was researching, you know, just hearing his name, as soon as the search pops up, his name pops up. I really started to like Clark Lee. Obviously, he goes against those 2 points, but I think he'll be someone that's deeply considered for this position. But the two guys that do fill that role is Jamie Chadwell and Will Healy. Those are two names that are going to be huge. I mean, these are charismatic guys. Offensive minded. I mean, we saw. I heard you guys discussing Will Healy and how he turned around the program at Clarksville and Austin Peay. I'm from Clarksville. My dad played at Austin Peay. I know how that was the most historically bad football program on the planet, and somehow this man got SEC talent in there. I know because I was looking at the names. I was like, how is he getting these guys to come play for Austin Peay? And I see that, and I'm like, dang, I kind of want that at Vanderbilt. I want SEC guys at Vanderbilt. So I've been a big Will Healy fan. I think Jamie Chadwell is also. He might be possibly what is the speculative front runner because, you know, we've seen with Coastal, they've been following a bunch of Vandy recruits on Twitter and stuff. He knows the speculative stuff, so he might be a potential front runner if there's any. But the search just started. But those are, I think, the top three names you'll hear: Clark Lee, Will Healy, Jamie Chadwell.
Bruno Reagan has been our guest. How many opt-outs are you hearing? And you said 6 or 7. Is this just the start, or is this just kind of where we are?
Well, I mean, I think that's where we're at. You know, the first number I got was 6 to 7 today, right before I hopped on the show. So that's the number. Will there be more? Probably.
So
I don't know if they're going to play, guys, honestly.
And just to clarify, these are guys who are upset with the Mason firing, or there's more to it than that?
Fuller stuff.
I was trying to get an answer, but I was trying to get a clear answer from multiple people before I came on and obviously reported it. But the one person who was able to answer before I hopped on the show said that this came back to issues with, you know, putting people in position to win. I think Riley was back and he was given the okay to go. That's what I'm hearing from the inside. And then they told him he was going to be a backup on kickoff, and some people didn't take that well, and that's the reason for a few opt-outs. And maybe those opt-outs announced that's the reason they're opting out, so other people opt out. You can't tell the true reason with everybody, but I think that's one reason that maybe the initial opt-outs happened, and now that they happen, it's going to create a wave that might derail the season.
Bruno, thank you, man. This has been a great perspective, and Chad was dead on when he said, hey, I heard this podcast with Chris Lee. We've got to have Bruno Reagan on.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate it. Well, I was hearing that stuff early. Obviously, I've got mixed reactions on that podcast, and for the most part, good, because I was pretty, you know, I wasn't too sold on it even then, and that was that was instant reaction.
Right.
Basically, with everything coming up with the story and stuff, I don't want people to think I'm against Sarah either. Like, she was given the opportunity. She's no victim in this. They gave her the opportunity, and she said, heck yeah, I'm going to do it. I'd do it too.
Right.
If anything, she added on, you know, the nonprofit, you know, the Play Like a Girl nonprofit. That's better than me. I'd be trying to capitalize personally off this. That's the way I would do it. So she's a better person than me in that regard.
Here's a twist, Bruno, and I wonder if they're not really screwing up on a communications basis, because I'm hearing reliably right now that she's only going to be used for extra points, and that it's kind of for quote unquote helping them out last week. And so if they're telling the guy who's coming back that he's the backup kickoff guy, they're screwing up communications wise this week. If guys are walking away over that and it's not even true, they're really shooting themselves.
Well, Paul, who gives you the best shot at winning, kicking extra points and kickoffs? The guy who's kicked very well in the SEC over the years, or someone who's never done it?
If she's just kicking extra points and he's doing everything else.
But, Bruno, I think what you said was she was just kickoff, named the starter on kickoff.
Right, and that was pissing people off. But I'm being told, only extra points.
Well, if that's the case too, it's the same thing. Just they're giving her brownie points. They want her, and I wanted to see her kick an extra point.
I did too. We all did.
But if Riley Gay is back, and you're trying to win, now are they going to beat Georgia guys? You know,
no.
I get it, but at the same time, it's for the spirit of the, it's the integrity of it. It's for the seniors. You know, I want them to try and win. I'm a competitor. If I was there, I'd want to try and win. You know, you should turn on your Gorilla football player brain and be like, we have to try and win at all costs regardless, you know. It would be a great boost. But if they're going to have Riley, if your source is good and they're saying Riley's going to kick off, but they're going to let her do the extra point, then I think that kind of sets everything in and of itself. And with what I heard, he's going to be the backup on kickoff. I mean, either way, it's, you know.
Well, right now, she's the only one listed, right?
She's the only one even listed on
the roster. She's the only one listed. I don't think they're going to list Riley. I don't think they confirmed him until somebody asked, which I heard right from the beginning that, you know, he was back on the team, like, right after that game. So, and I don't think they were going to confirm him until they had the whole, I think there's a lot of things with eligibility and stuff they have to clear. I'm pretty sure he is cleared, but they weren't going to release it until somebody pressed them on it. I think someone asked Coach Fitch about him in their presser.
Bruno, thank you, man. We appreciate the insight.
No problem, guys. I mean, I'm just here being honest with whatever those guys, you know.
We appreciate the honesty on this show for sure.
How many guys do you talk to?
Quite a few. And the thing is like those guys will talk to older guys and those older guys talk to me.
Sure.
So I basically have an ear with the locker room. I'm not going to act like I know a lot of the younger guys because I don't, but I mean, I bled with those guys. A lot of those guys are still my brothers. So.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Bruno.
No problem, guys.
Bruno Reagan has been our guest, former Vanderbilt offensive lineman. He mentioned his dad went to Austin Peay. His mom's in the Austin Peay Sports Hall of Fame as a volleyball player there for the Lady Govs. So
I just think I don't know. I'm trying to put myself in those guys' shoes. It's crumbling on a lot of levels, right? The coach fired.
I think it sounds like guys a group of guys who don't want to be there anyways.
Right. A couple have pro chances. There's all kinds of reasons. Is this the straw for them? Final straw? I don't know. There's a lot of reasons to mail it in. And I'd like guys who finish. I'd like guys who see it through.
I like guys who see it through, but I can also understand if you're caught up in a stunt and your guy that you played with is being told that he's not going to start, even though he's the best option to win because of the stunt, then I would have an issue with that too. But Paul, to your point, I also think from the start of this year and the lack of energy around the program, it sounds like some guys looking for a reason to leave.
Yeah.
And this is just the last thing that said, okay, I'm done.
Now, how many pro prospects did I have?
Odangbo, for sure. The linebacker who just left, I think Dimitri Moore was his name.
Yeah.
Is a guy who's transferring.
But even like pro, like I think it's even if you have a chance to be undrafted, you don't want to have the option of having that question asked why you quit, right?
Yeah, what's better, getting out of a couple of games or just finishing facing the quit question?
Yeah, I think that's part of it, too. 615-737-1045, our number, midday 180, delivered by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone.